Hello and welcome to Radio Free Thinker. This is our Fun Drive special right here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Ethan, your free-thinking historian.
This is Don, your political science philosopher.
And this is Rob, cognitive psychologist, and wondering what happened with... We were going to start with a song, like one of the old ones that we started the show with a long time ago, Tim Minchin, and we're not quite sure what's going on.
Well, you know, that just goes to a point, something that's going to be a common theme throughout this show is our pledge drive in the radio station. Things break down, we need new equipment, and we're hoping that people who enjoy our show and listen to our show will... phone in and pledge some money to fix things like CD players that don't work when they're supposed to work.
Make the station better.
Exactly.
Well, we have a really special show. Obviously, this is 3:30, not our usual time of 4 o'clock. We'll be doing an hour-long special today. And our goal here is to encourage you to call in to CITR and donate to help make the station better.
And you can call in at 604-UBC-UNIT or 604-822-8648. And you can donate however much you want. And actually, you can go online at citr.ca/donate.
There are several pledge categories that they tell us that we should suggest. And I'm going to list off the ones that they suggest and the swag you get. Swag is like bonus little thank yous for it. And then Ethan will jump in and give our little extras that we give at certain price points.
Yes, we have a special prize pack for the Radio Freethinker audience.
Exactly. So you can really pledge anything. I mean, if you want to phone in and say $5, we won't say no. But we're aiming for something that'll help build, repair things. So the starting one we have is $30, and for that you get Friends of CITR, plus you get your name announced on the air. There's the $60 one where you get a Friends card and a free umbrella, 101.9, which works out to be only 28 cents a day. You get one Friends of CITR card, one limited edition t-shirts, and they're really, really nice new t-shirts, plus you get 15 seconds of airtime. They have this new promotion this year where it's you're paying for the station, and you should be part of it. And part of being a part of it is to be on air. So they're giving you free airtime just to say, hey, this is great, or whatever you want to say. Above that, there's $175, $250, and for $1 a day, $365 pledge, you get two Friends of CITR, two limited edition t-shirts, two umbrella, one hoodie, and a minute of on air. And if you're really a go-getter and you really want to throw your support behind our show and other shows, $1,000, that's only $2.74. I mean, that's less than a latte, right? For that, you get two Friends of CITR cards, two limited edition t-shirts, two umbrellas, two hoodies, one CD prize pack. That's not ours. This is a music prize pack. Plus, name on a donor's wall, and you get to host your own show.
So if you donate $1,000, we will all buy you dinner.
Exactly.
Ethan, at McDonald's.
Ethan, besides these wonderful swags that CITR is going to be giving out, do we have anything extra for our skeptical listeners who love our show?
Well, if you donate to Radio Free Thinker, and not just Radio Free Thinker, CITR as a whole, but we want to reward our fans. So if you donate $300 or more, you are going to win some pretty awesome prizes. The first thing you will win is a year subscription to Skeptical Inquirer and Free Inquiry, both premier skeptical magazines in the community.
So, actually, I think Skeptical Inquirer is produced by CFI, of which there's a local chapter here in Vancouver. We're quite good friends with them.
So. Yes, and we should also thank CFI Vancouver for providing these excellent prizes, the magazines. You will also get a new copy of Richard Dawkins' new book, The Greatest Show on Earth, an excellent book talking about evolution and the evidence for evolution.
I just finished that one myself, and it was a really, really good book. And Dawkins was quite good at making it a talking point for those people who are skeptical and have friends who don't know it, or even if you don't quite understand some of the things behind it yourself. It's an excellent book. What other great swag do they get?
Well, you will also get a membership, a free pass, and a t-shirt from the Railway Club. And skeptics know that the Railway Club is pretty much the de facto meeting place for skeptics, whether it's Skeptics in the Pub. Oftentimes Cafe Scientifique is held there as well, and it's just a great place to go and get a drink and meet some of your fellow skeptics.
In fact, CITR holds Shindig there, where we get local bands to play, CITR people show up, DJs, it's fun. Actually, Shindig is on tonight at the Railway Club.
Excellent. And you will also receive a CD of the music of Radio Free Thinker. All the songs that we try to play, sometimes play, you'll get a CD, very nice labels and everything. You will also get an audiobook collection with science, skepticism, and atheism, all kinds of great books that you can play on your CD player or DVD player or
hook
on
it into your iTunes, yeah, whatever you got.
And finally, you will get an honorary membership in the UBC Freethinkers, which is UBC's campus club promoting skepticism and science education.
And they promote a lot of good things. They just had a talk recently, didn't they, about the swine flu?
Exactly. Yes, they did. They had a great talk, which featured Dr. Robert Tarswell and was really well attended and was just really fantastic. And we hope to have him on the show eventually to discuss more about H1N1 and all the pseudoscience that goes along with it.
So when you phone in and you pledge, and that number again is 604-822-8648, phone in and say, hey, I'm pledging $300, hopefully, to Radio Free Thinker for CETR. And that will get your name down to get that wonderful swag that we just mentioned.
So enough business. We know you love CITR. We know you're going to donate. So let's get down to the stories that we've got for you today.
Well, Rob, have you heard anything new in the news, perhaps?
Actually, there is something. We have this sort of pseudo-regular segment called Ahead of the Curve. And something caught my eye in the news lately. It's been going around on science blogs, science daily, things like that. And people were looking at the way DNA is dated, like the way genetic dating techniques work. And people found that these accuracy of these measurements is actually pretty inaccurate.
What?
Yeah, I know. Holy cow. I mean, could our entire basis of genetics and biology be completely wrong? Well, I mean, when you look at these more closely and go past the headlines of, here's one, ancient penguin DNA raises doubts about accuracy of genetic dating techniques. Well, you look at it, and it turns out that the approaches we've been using have been underestimating the age of the DNA and the genetic code. So it's not going to be, people are going to come and look at this and go like, oh, I'm a creationist. This is in favor of my young Earth creationism. Well, no, it actually goes in the opposite direction. We need stuff to be older than it is.
So it's wrong, sort of like Ann Coulter's driver's licenses that says she's like 5 years younger than she really is.
Exactly.
Yes.
Also, penguins. They're pretty cool, right?
I saw a movie about them once. They were walking around.
Yeah, I thought it was neat that like they discovered this when they're looking at penguin DNA, and it's actually like really fascinating to look at the evolution of penguins. And it turns out that penguins have been evolving for a lot longer than we thought they were.
Is that because they're in the Antarctic where it's really easy to get fossil samples through the ice?
Yes, it was done through core samples and things like that.
Excellent. Cool. You know, actually, and penguins are a great example of what do they call it when one trait evolves independently of each other? Because the penguins
convergent
evolve,
evolution.
Convergent evolution. People may not know this, but those people who are into history and extinction will remember there used to be a bird in the north called the auk, the great auk, among others, which is essentially, if you put them side by side, are penguins. But they're entirely different species. They evolved entirely different. But they're flightless birds. They're aquatic. They swim for the fish. Just interesting. And actually, on that note, I was just reading the other day that there's a brand of scotch that's going to be reintroduced because they've discovered Shackleton, who was
Shackleton, the guy who got stuck in the Arctic?
Exactly. Well, one of his base camps they've discovered under, 50 feet of ice, and in there is a case of this 100-year-old scotch that they're trying to excavate so they can sell it. So.
That is awesome.
They're going to... Scotch has been frozen in the Antarctic for...
Hey, aged scotch is the best scotch.
Exactly.
Wow, that's...
And it's been kept cool.
That's kind of morbid, actually.
Well, they aren't using it. Well, I mean, they ate each other, right?
It's not... from his camp. It's from one of his supply camps.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't like you're going to have Shackleton with his hand.
Skeleton hand attached to it or something.
And on that happy note, I think we should go to a PSA. And while we're taking this break, please call into CITR and donate.
Okay, I'm not playing any more music for anybody, and that includes myself, until somebody calls and pledges some money so that our station does not have to go off the air.
Why should people support CITR? Lots of unique music, independent news, and arts programming that isn't heard anywhere else but here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Call 604-822-8648 to pledge your support.
I mean, why should I bother to play records for you if you're not even willing to call up and pledge a couple of dollars? A couple of dollars. It's not that much money. We've been playing what you want, but we have to have your money. We can't make it without you. We played Margot Hemingway's new album. We debuted it, premiered it on this station. We're the only station in the whole tri-state area to play the Fish Cheer the whole, all the way through. We play a lot of old stuff. We play a lot of Cher stuff before she sold out. We play a lot of crap, but that's what you want, you know?
Call 604-822-8648 to pledge your support.
And we're back on Radio Free Thinker. You see, this is why we are asking you to donate, because we desperately need it.
If you've seen our control board, I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful control board and should be in a museum somewhere. it's a wonderful thing, but every so often it does these quirky little things. So we're hoping that you're going to phone in and you're going to pledge. We've got wonderful swag here. What was some of the stuff that we're giving away again?
Well, in case you forgot, we are giving away a year subscription to Skeptical Inquirer and Free Inquiry, two amazing skeptical magazines. Or if you want to learn more about evolution, we were just talking about evolution, why not a copy of Richard Dawkins' new book, The Greatest Show on Earth? And if you want to go out and get some drinks, you want to go to the Railway Club. So you're going to want a membership, a free pass, and a t-shirt. So donate for that. And if you like our music that we're not playing, or our audiobooks, or you want to be a member of the UBC Freethinkers, donate as well.
How much would they donate for that?
Well, see, maybe some of you don't want to donate $300. Maybe you're a student, maybe you don't have $300. So if you donate $60, you have a choice. You can get the CD of music, the audiobooks, and the membership to the UBC Freethinkers. Or you can get the membership, free pass, and t-shirt from the Railway Club. Or the copy of Dawkins' new book. And if you're feeling really generous, but not quite super generous, for $101.90, you can get your subscription to Skeptical Inquirer and Free Inquiry. So think about that, folks.
And that number again is 604-822-8648. Phone in, make your pledge. Remember to mention Radio Free Thinker so you get your swag. And it's wonderful swag. But what else is in the news? You know, I was just listening the other day to CBC, and they were talking about the H1N1 vaccine, how that little bugaboo's up in the air. And apparently, out of 6.6 million vaccinations, it's a lot of vaccinations, there have only been 36 reported incidents. So,
What's an incident?
Well, that's the thing. Most of them are things like sore arms, a little mild fever.
Only 36 reported sore arms? Well, I get a sore arm every time.
That's kind of a given. I mean, you get a needle stuck in it, it's going to hurt a little bit.
And to be fair, because we're skeptics, there is one suspected death in this. Okay, but that's out of 6.6 million vaccinations.
So the odds are pretty good.
And out of that, conversely, at the same time, the national total for deaths on the H1N1 virus is 198. 1 to 198. Let's do the math. So, I don't know. For all those people who are still holding back, thinking they shouldn't get the H1N1 or even the seasonal flu vaccine, go out and get it. I've been trying to get mine, but as you all know, there's been a shortage out there. Be patient. Get it. One of the hosts here at CITR phoned in the other day. He got his vaccination, but he got it like Monday, and Wednesday he started getting symptoms from the virus. So, you know, get it.
It does take about 10 days for the
immunity
to kick in.
Yeah.
So with that case there, Don, do you know, does it say what the person actually died of? Like, was it the Guillain-Barré syndrome or whatever it was? Or
the information I have it doesn't give any specific, but what it does say is it's only suspected to be a partial cause in it.
Yeah.
So, there are some things. I mean, some of these vaccines will use egg proteins because the anti-flu.
Well, most of them have to because it's the way we make
exactly.
them.
And if you happen to be someone who doesn't know you're highly allergic to. It's like someone with a peanut allergy. If you've never had a peanut in your life, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of weird things that can go into contrive this.
Yeah.
Sort of like, you know, walking across the street, you could get hit by a car. It's not likely to happen, but...
Well, I mean, the thing is, too, with today's technology, if you do have, say, a really bad allergy to eggs, under medical supervision, you can get the vaccine and get it safely. It's a bit more of a process, which, I mean, it's no excuse. If you're allergic to eggs, you know, talk to your doctor, say, look, I want the vaccine, but I probably need some extra help getting it.
Well, and again, I mean, let's look at this. What were the chances? One in almost 7 million. I mean,
yeah.
You know, what freaky set of circumstances might have had to occur for this to happen? Well, if you have 7 million people taking the vaccine, one of them might actually be a weird series.
You know, it's interesting too. I was listening to a podcast the other day about this, and they were saying that, for example, in a given year, you're going to get a lot of medical accidents. For example, spontaneous abortion, where a woman loses her child, right? It happens on a daily basis, but very rarely. Given the statistics, someone is going to get the vaccine and have one of these unfortunate abortions. And they're going to blame it on the vaccine. You know, same with heart attacks. Somebody is bound to get the vaccine and a few hours later get a heart attack. It doesn't mean that the vaccine caused the heart attack.
It's the whole correlation versus causation.
It's the background radiation of people unfortunately dying, right? Yeah. So a good point to make to our listeners.
And actually, for those people who want to know more about some of the fear-mongering that goes on about the vaccination, Skeptoid, who is a podcast you can find on the internet, his recent podcast is on the stuff that's in vaccines and some of the scary things that the anti-vaxxers say are in there and what it really means, such things like formaldehyde.
Yeah, they say things like, oh, the vaccine contains formaldehyde and mercury and arsenic. And
some of these are true. It does contain trace elements. Formaldehyde is a natural organic way of sterilizing something, but the amounts that are in there are very small, and actually in your own body produces formaldehyde as part of the digestion thing, and it's the amount that's in your bloodstream is like 10 times the amount that would be from this.
Well, not only in your bloodstream, I mean, if you ever have a Diet Coke or a glass of orange juice, you're going to get way more than you would in a vaccine.
Exactly.
Same with thimerosal. If you ever had a tuna sandwich, you've gotten about like 12 years of vaccines worth of thimerosal in your tuna sandwich.
Well, but the mercury in the tuna salad is the bad kind of mercury.
The bad stuff too. I mean,
exactly, because the ethyl mercury that's in vaccinations and thimerosal is an organic one, and that your body just deals with that easily.
It's quite
normal
compound. Yeah, exactly. Well, we have lots of science stories here to go over, and we want
and
to
if
remind
you if you enjoy what the kind of reporting that we do, the kind of reporting that the station does, and you like that skeptics are given a voice on the air, please donate to CITR at calling 604 UBC unit or 604-822-8648 or online at citr.ca/donate.
Yes, we can. Oh, I've forgotten to mention that. Yes, you can donate online for those people who are a little afraid of using that new technology called the phone but feel quite comfortable with the internet.
Well, why don't we go to a commercial break? We'll be back with more Radio Freethinker.
Okay, I'm not playing any more music for anybody, and that includes myself, until somebody calls and pledges some money so that our station does not have to go off the air.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Your voice, your frequency. Programming at CITR is controlled by those who produce it and those who listen to it. Vancouver has the highest concentration of corporate ownership in media in North America. It is essential that CITR be your alternative voice in this environment.
Where the hell are you? Let's get some phone calls.
To pledge your support, phone 604-822-8648. CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
What about you people in labor? Come on, every Friday night we've been sponsoring a wobbly hour. We've been having old weird wobbly guys who were with the IWW back in the 20s and stuff. Let's back us up. We're in the same boat. 555-2150. It's us against the world. Let's go. Let's beat the world tonight. Come on, sheet metal people. Where are you? Okay, St. Mark's for girls. I'll give a kiss to every girl from St. Mark's that calls, pledges some money. Come on.
To pledge your support, phone 604-822-8648. CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
If anyone can show me one example in the history of the world of a single psychic who's been able to prove under reasonable experimental conditions that they are able to read minds. And if anyone can show me one example in the history of the world of a single astrologer who's been able to prove under reasonable experimental conditions that they can predict future events by interpreting celestial signs. And if anyone can show me one example in the history of the world of a single homeopathic practitioner who's been able to prove under reasonable experimental conditions that solutions made up of infinitely tiny particles of good stuff dissolved repeatedly into relatively huge quantities of water have a consistently higher medicinal value than a similarly administered placebo. And if anyone can show me one example in the entire history of the world of a single spiritual or religious person who's been able to show either empirically or logically the existence of a higher power with any consciousness or interest in the human race, or ability to punish or reward humans for their moral choices, or that there is any reason other than fear to believe in any version of an afterlife, I will give you my piano. One of my legs my wife.
So we're back.
Thanks, Don.
Ethan was so amazed that we got one of the CD players to work. He was just dancing around here. And speaking of getting one of the CD players to work, we cannot remind you enough that this is our pledge drive two-week, bi-week thing, where we want you to phone in and donate and pledge some money, preferably lots of money, but any money will work. There's $30 for one friend, $60... 101.9, which is a really popular one. I was working the pledge drive phones the other day, and 101.9, which is only 28 cents a day, was a really popular one. Do we have anything special to give away, Ethan, for our local listeners who might want to donate at $101.9?
We got so much to give away. If you were listening to that song, that was Tim Minchin, by the way, who's a fantastic comedian, songwriter dude. If you like that song, and there's plenty more like that, if you donate $60, you will receive that CD. You will see a whole DVD of audiobooks. What's on the that DVD, Don?
We got almost a complete collection of Richard Dawkins' work. We've got
Carl Sagan's on there.
Carl Sagan. We've got
Michael Shermer.
Michael Shermer. Christopher Hitchens. I've got a few on there from what's called the Teaching Company, which is an audiobook specialty group that sells books designed to teach you things about science and history or whatever. Audibly, and we've got in there, I think, Tools for Thinking, which is basically about critical thinking, argumentative, or how to have an argument with someone and win, which is really an interesting thing, because Rob, you were talking about something about argumentativeness and how to talk about stuff.
Just a couple of days ago, the JREF, James Randi Educational Foundation, it has a blog, and they have a guest blogger, a marketing person, who posted something up that sort of caught my attention, and it was talking about how skeptics tend to be sort of brash and occasionally a bit interruptive. And
we don't interrupt people. What do you mean? Everything you're saying is wrong.
We enjoy debunking people.
That is complete bogus, Rob. There's no way.
We take pleasure in saying you're wrong, and here's why. And he gives the example of that guy in the classroom, and everyone's heard this guy who like in a film class, the professor will be saying, you know, yeah, this is 30 frames per second, and the guy will raise his hand and be like, actually, it's 29.97, sir. And you're just like, you know, as the class progresses, you just want to take this guy and throttle him. I think that skeptics sometimes have the danger of falling into that category, and this blog post argues that we should think more like marketers. We should know our audience. We should pick the correct time to make our points. If advertisers started making, you know, back to school offers in the middle of May, it's not going to be nearly as effective as if they do it around September. So skeptics and anyone who wants to bring in critical thinking to the discussions they have at parties or over dinner or whatever should be careful as to when and to whom they talk about it.
Well, not to be controversial or to be a quote-unquote skeptic, I think you're totally wrong, Rob. I mean, quite frankly, you're sort of saying, and I know it's not exactly you, it's the JREF and this one particular spokesperson for him who's saying that there's a time for truth and a time for not truth. And I don't know if I can quite agree with that. I do agree that you don't sit there. You were telling us during the break about this this one guy who was at a party, and there was a cop there talking about how during the full moon, all the crazies come out. Crime skyrockets.
Yeah, I was sort of paraphrasing the article. Let me see if I can find it here. But basically, he was saying that he's talking to at a party, and this cop is having a small audience of people that he's telling the story and sort of talking about how, yeah, you know, when the full moon's out, crime goes up and stuff like that. And this guy was thinking, well, no, it doesn't. Here's why. And he was thinking, well, if I just did that, the cop would contradict me, and I'd end up contradicting the cop, and it would turn into an argument, and the audience would, you know, immediately, because I'm telling them that this guy is wrong, I'd lose the audience.
No, I see it, and I would say no. I mean, if you sat there and you walked up, you say, oh, Mr. Officer, you're an idiot. Everything you're saying is stupid. Yes, that there's a right and a wrong way of doing it, especially considering he's a cop and you don't want to get a ticket.
So there's a place for tact.
With that much, I would agree. So, you know, I mean, you don't go in there, and if it turns into a shouting match, again, you might say, well,
Keep talking. Keep going.
Sorry. Now, I've totally lost my train of thought because Ethan sat there and he was pointing at this old control board that we have there and how rickety it is and how much we need your pledge drive. But now that I've gone off to grandmother's house, let's go back. So we were talking about, so should you confront this guy? I think you should. You're right. There's tact that should be involved. You shouldn't come across as a know-it-all. You shouldn't come across as aggressive. But every opportunity you get, you should make sure that people know that there is a alternative view at best. I would call it a rational, sane view, but you can couch it as an alternative view to that. So you go up to the cop, you say, you know, actually, I've read some studies put out by whatever agency that says statistically there isn't any more, although the perception is definitely there, and if you watch TV, it's definitely there, but the actual stats don't actually work out. It's just people's perception of that, which is probably why you, Mr. Police Officer, feel that there's more there, because society is trained you to do that.
So in comparison to the guy at the beginning of this blog who raises his hand in the middle of class and says, actually, you're wrong, here's the correct answer, you'd be more thinking about along the lines of, if that guy were to raise his hand in the middle of class and be like, actually, I've heard that it was this exactly. But at the same time, sort of like, well, that's a change that doesn't really matter. In this case, if someone is spreading misinformation and you feel that it's important, then maybe you should speak up. But at the same time, bring in some tact, know how the audience is going to respond to that.
Exactly. And as maybe he's pointing at, if you're an ass, you're never going to win over anyone. And if you keep running your head up against the wall, I mean, if your audience, if I went into the Vatican and I started spouting my atheist to the Pope, I just ain't going to win.
It's not going to happen.
Right? So there is a point.
The Swiss guards would be on you like that.
Speaking of having a point, Ethan.
He was pointing to the board earlier. We don't know what did you want to do?
Okay, well, let's just cut to another great topic here. We talked about earlier about penguins and ice, so let's shift gears to a bit of talking about water. And maybe some of you have heard about the LCROSS mission.
LCROSS mission? What the heck is the LCROSS mission?
It was the NASA mission that we've reported on previously. They sent the LCROSS impactor onto the Cabeus crater in the moon, and it was meant to shoot up this plume of mantle and stuff from the moon, and they were going to look at it and see if there was water on it. And there was a bit of a fizzle. It wasn't very interesting to look at in a telescope. The plume didn't really go outside of the shadow of the crater, but they have since done some analysis, and
Despite the sort of anticlimactic way it impacted, the main piece of evidence that they did encounter was the plume, and they looked at it through spectrometers, which are devices that allow you to analyze material based on how much light is admitted and absorbed by that submaterial. And it turns out there was water in there. And they also have evidence that the actual physical ejected material from the physical impact of the ship, there was water in that as well. So two separate lines of evidence indicating that there's water on the moon.
And from what I understand, too, it's not a little water. It's actually quite a lot, relatively speaking. I mean, it is the moon. We're not talking about the oceans or anything, but there's actually quite a bit. Why is that important that they have water on the moon?
Well, you know, people have been talking for a long time about what we should be doing in space. You know, should we go to Mars? Should we start building structures on the moon? And if there is water on the moon, that opens up a whole lot of possibilities of what we could do in space. You know, I mean, people have been debating for a long time exactly what should we be doing up there. I mean,
set up a water slide?
Well, a water slide would be nice.
Yeah. Steal all the water from the moon because we can't keep onto our own problems down here on Earth?
Well, the water, though, I mean, it does serve some very interesting purposes, because if it's there, you set up a space colony, what do you need? Well, you need water, that's there. You also need air. You can get oxygen from water. Also fuel. The hydrogen from the fuel part, from the water, can be used for fuel. So not only is it there useful, and it has so many different uses, and you don't have to carry it up there. I mean, one of the problems they have about any space mission now is you got to take everything off the Earth, and the Earth is a heavy gravity well. The moon is a very light gravity well by comparison.
Exactly. I mean,
so is the idea that if we wanted to terraform the moon, we basically could.
Well, actually, the other thing is, and I think Ethan was going to go for this when he was talking about should we go to Mars or whatever, is do we go straight to Mars, which is one proposal, or do we go to the moon, set up a station there, and then launch from the moon, because the moon would actually be cheaper as far as economy goes to send missions from the moon into Mars or to Saturn or Proxima 5.
Proxima 5.
Yeah, there isn't one, but they'll discover it soon.
Okay. There you go, a prediction on Radio Free Thinker. Well, why don't we, let's shift gears back to Earth now. We'll leave the moon up there for the moment. So apparently, I just read this recently, that a massive Canadian lake caused climate change in Europe 12,000 years ago. How about that, eh? Massive
Woo-hoo!
Canadian lake.
Sticking it to the Europeans.
Yeah. Okay. So around 12,000.
How exactly does a lake cause climate change in Europe?
I thought this is really interesting. Maybe that's just me, but 12,800 years ago, central Canada was covered in a massive lake called Lake Agassiz, which was created by the glacier that used to cover North America during the last ice age. And this lake, I mean, this was a big freaking lake. It would have covered most of Manitoba, Western Ontario, Northern Minnesota, Eastern North Dakota, and Saskatchewan. I mean, that's a big lake.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And anyway, so this lake had these sort of like ice dams, and one of them broke and spilled all its fresh water into the North Atlantic. And this apparently happened in a matter of months, like three months.
How did they find this out?
Well, they did a lot of core samples. Apparently, they did them in places like Ireland, Northern Ireland, and I guess around sort of Northern Canada as well. The main evidence is presented by geologist, have his name here, from the University of Saskatchewan, Bill Patterson, and we'll have a link to the actual article on our webpage. But so apparently this lake floods into the North Atlantic, causes a massive freezing of the climate in Europe, which is actually known as the Younger Dryas, apparently. And what's kind of interesting about this is this actually occurred around the same time as humans were migrating from Europe to North America across the land bridge.
So they were migrating, and then this big old dam breaks, and the water spills out and causes problems for the migrating people?
First of all, the mechanism, I think, that goes for the cooling of Europe works something like this. Europe is actually, considering where it is on the globe, is a lot warmer than it should be. I mean, a lot of Europe is almost norther than we are right here, but they have a lot warmer temperatures than we have. And the reason why they have that is the Gulf Stream, which takes warm water from the Gulf, goes shooting up the coast sort of North America, up into right into Europe, and basically England and Northern Europe gets this jet of warm water from the equator. Now that Gulf Stream can get changed. It relies a lot on the difference in salinity and that of the oceans between the Arctic Ocean and the Southern Atlantic Ocean. When this big water thing comes through, this big dam breaks, it rushes in there and it changes the chemistry, the actual makeup of the Atlantic Ocean, and shuts down this Gulf Stream.
Which is why there's so much concern that if the Greenland ice sheet melts and goes into the Atlantic, it could shut down that stream again, which is a modern problem. But yeah, this is really fascinating, because I mean, if you think about it, if you're, you know, a human being in Europe 12,000 years ago, and you're like, oh, this is not bad, you know, it's kind of warm, pretty good, and then all of a sudden it gets really freaking cold, and winter shows up and doesn't leave, you know, you're probably thinking, you know, maybe that land bridge is looking pretty good right about now. So, I mean, I think this shows some pretty interesting potential for learning about early human migration into North America.
I think there's another case in there, too, because there's several other stories that play into this. The flood story, I mean, everyone talks about the flood, right? And how it's kind of a universal amongst most cultures that there's a flood, therefore the Bible must be true. But there's actually now at least two major flood stories that seem to be appropriate. One is the Black Sea, which apparently had a similar thing where the Mediterranean was trying to get into the Black Sea, but there was a rock bridge and that broke through, and you had the Black Sea flood in a period of a couple of months or years. And now we've got the Agassiz, which, granted, it's stretching the time that humans would have been in North America, but I think the Clovis people go back to be about 15,000 years, so it's conceivable that
they might have witnessed this, actually.
Exactly. So again, you know, flood stories might be universal, not because there was one flood, but because floods are actually more common than people would think.
Yes. And if our listeners want to flood our phone lines with donations.
Oh, very good segue. I was going to go with it. If you find this fascinating and enjoy the content that we're putting up here.
Well, a good point, though. A good point. I mean, where else do you find Radio Freethinker skepticism coupled with amusing science and amusing mix-ups involving soundboards?
You only find it on CITR, so please consider donating to CITR's Fund Drive by calling 604-UBC-UNIT or going online at citr.ca/donate.
That's 604-822-8648 for those people who don't know how to spell well.
Okay, and let's go to a song from our CD.
Down, gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground, and I won't back down.
We're back now. We were just talking that we were checking to see how our pledges are going, and the money's coming in, but we're not getting our listeners phoning in saying, hey, I'm pledging for Radio Free Thinker. And Radio Free Thinker is an important thing for you out there. We are, as best as we know, BC's only skeptical radio show out there. We are bringing the voice of skepticism to the people. We are trying to educate and inform people so they know what's going on. That we peel back the lies that regular mass media get. Remember, this is an independent, publicly funded radio station. We are your voice. We're here for you. We're here to support you. We're here to defend you with information and knowledge that's out there. But we need your help, and now is the time we need your help. It's our pledge drive. Please phone in. Donate some money. We've got wonderful prizes to give in there. Go to $101.90. It's like 28 cents a day. You know, I mean, that's nothing to support skeptical radio presented by local people on a local view. That's 604-822-8648 or CITR.ca/donate. You know, I mean, how many times have you heard from your friends or whatever what a difference we've made in their life or how informative they are?
Well, actually, if you want to tell us about that, please email us at radio.freethinker@gmail.com.
Well, just talking about what Don was just saying there, you know, we are Vancouver's number one skeptical podcast by the fact that we are Vancouver's skeptical podcast. And you know what? There are great resources out there for the skeptic. There's some fantastic podcasts like The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. We mentioned Skeptoid. There's The Reality Check in Ottawa. But you know what? We talk about local things.
We try to bring a local viewpoint. We try to bring our listeners' viewpoint.
You know, if I just to toot our own horn, we did an excellent several exposés on the recent
Body, Soul, and Spirit Expo.
We never did get that trade, but but we did a wonderful job of covering. That was a local story at the provincial.
And you know what, Don? Like, that just drove me nuts. You know who sponsored that? The Georgia Strait, the Province, the Vancouver Sun, and like five other radio stations.
You know, and that just brings up another reason why CITR and our show in particular is so important, is the media concentration you get in Vancouver. I mean, Vancouver in particular is noticed as one of the highest concentrations of media ownership in the world. Like 99%, maybe not quite 99, but near 99% of all the media are owned by Canwest Global, CTV. It's like a very limited number of pools. Independent voices like you get here at CITR, free-thinking voices like you get with Radio Free Thinker, are important to peel back the misconceptions, the downright lies you sometimes hear. And the other thing, I mean, we did a story a couple of days ago about homeopathy in the Georgia Strait and how we were railing against that.
Exactly. I mean,
not to mention that there's lots of stuff that you just don't hear in the regular media. We bring out the stories that nobody will talk about. We bring out the music that you don't hear on the corporate-owned stations. So please donate to CITR.
Exactly. I mean,
and,
donate now at 604-822-8648 or CITR.ca/donate. Callers are standing by waiting for you. And don't forget, you got wonderful swag. Besides the wonderful stuff that we're giving away, if you donate at the $101.90, you get a Friends of CITR and a limited t-shirt. And remember, for those person out there, and we know you're out there, if you pledge $1,000 and you say Radio Free Thinker, we will take you out to a reasonable price dinner where you get to talk with the host. Whatever you want.
Or just yell at the host if you really want to.
If you hate us, if you just like want to throttle us, this is your opportunity.
Well, and doubly so, because again, if this is your radio station. Your pledge dollars is supporting the programming you want to hear, you want to see. And part of their big promotion this year is own your own frequency. So if you pledge that $1,000, you get your own show. So if you like what we say, come on in and do your own show promoting. But if you're one of these people, you know, that person who's at the Georgia Strait, who's in the homeopathy, and you think what we say is crap, well, I dare you, I challenge you to pledge $1,000, and you come on and you do your own show, and you counter what we say, and we'll have it out. It'll be a fair, it's democratic, it's the way information gets spread around. So phone in, donate now at 604-822-8648. But quite frankly, I think we've said enough about the pledges. What other information can we bestow upon our loyal audience?
Well, Rob, you were talking earlier about some interesting science stories, right?
Recently I was reading, I have this RSS feed that just brings me all the time stories from science blogs and a whole bunch of different open access science journals. And I found this one interesting study. Here's the headline from Miller McCune. Researchers are studying why people often steadfastly believe something, even when they've been shown evidence that it's not true. So it's mind-boggling how topical this research is, because it's happening all over the place. I mean, you hear about it with in the States right now, with President Obama having to deal with all those people who are assuming that there's going to be death panels, or that, you know, there's something about single payer healthcare options, and it's not actually true. They're basing all of their decisions on complete misinformation or false information. Not to mention that this is something very topical for skepticism right now. Anti-vaccination groups refusing steadfastly to change their mind, even in the face of insurmountable positive evidence. So why do people do this? And these people ran a study where they got 49 people who thought that they were conservatives, and they thought that Saddam Hussein was at least partly responsible for the attacks on 9/11. And they defined conservatives as anyone who voted for Bush in 2004.
Was that true?
It, as far as people know, it is not true at all.
The overwhelming evidence now shows that there was no link between, if anything, Hussein was as much against these kind of groups because they were as much of a threat to his own government as they were to anyone else.
And that's the kind of evidence that they were showing these people. They found these 49 people. They would give them a lot of evidence that was pretty hard to disagree with. If you happen to be a critical thinker, and showing them that, you know, like, look, you have to change your mind because Saddam Hussein was in no way related to anything that happened on 9/11. And of the 49 people, only one shed the certainty when presented with the evidence that it wasn't true. The rest came up with a dazzling array of imaginative rationalizations of why they believe what they believe. And this is the sort of thing that people are trying to study now, is how people come to rationalize what they believe, even if the evidence points to something completely different. And that's something that, you know, I'm personally very interested in promoting, is more of a reliance on evidence.
I think, too, it makes an interesting thing. A lot of, in my area, political science and that assumes the idea of a rational person. And we are rational in some senses, but this just shows that there are variations of what rationality means to some people, and how the term rationality can be sort of turned on its head.
Not to mention the threat of ideologues, people who will not change their mind despite the evidence. They believe what they believe, not because of evidence, but because of their ideological beliefs.
Yeah, exactly. It's called motivated reasoning, which is sort of pursuing actively information that confirms what we already believe and discarding the rest, sort of just offhand. And I think that's the case of what's going on here.
You know, actually, it's a funny thing in a way. This has been flipped on its head in a way. I've been following a bit of the story in the United States about the the major in Fort Hood who killed 13. And one of the things that they're pointing out about that is how much the media was trying to show that it wasn't because he was Muslim. It wasn't because of any ideological beliefs that he did it, but they were going over, say, well, this guy was picked on and it was post-traumatic stress and all that, and how they were trying to justify what seems to be on the face of it quite overt behavior in order to meet some other political agenda, I guess would be the best word. Christopher Hitchens does an interesting story about that in Slate.com about how the real motivations of this really he really seems to have been a religious terrorist in the sense of his motivation was very, very wrapped up in what he came to believe is his religious beliefs, and how that was enacted out this one day because of what happened, and how much the regular media has been trying to kind of suppress that. And speaking of regular media, it's very important to note that this is an alternative media station giving you an alternative point of view, and it's very important to phone in and do your pledges at 604-822-8648 or CITR.ca donate. So anyhow, you know, you're right. And that goes back to our discussion earlier about, you know, should you speak up in the face of someone else doing controversial things at a party or what have you? And I think it's important to do that. So I don't know. I think we get fooled all the time by this sort of thing.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids,
math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a Big Bang.
Hey!
Since the dawn of man is really not that long, as every galaxy was formed in less time than it takes to sing this song. A fraction of a second and the elements were made. The bipeds stood up straight, the dinosaurs all met their fate. They tried to leave but they were late and they all died.
They put their asses off the oceans and Pangaea. See a wooden monopoeia set in motion by the same Big Bang. It all started with a Big Bang. It's expanding ever outward, but one day
and we're back on Radio Free Thinker.
So the song that was actually supposed to play there was Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who.
And after I gave such a perfect lead into that, but it's okay, as we were saying before. You know, it's an old station, it needs to be refurbished, it needs new equipment, it's an ongoing project.
Or maybe we just need a new producer.
And you can get a new producer if you pledge $1,000. We will replace our producer with the new improved version of Ethan. Ethan 2.0.
Robot Ethan.
And well, that number again to donate is 604-822-8648 or citr.ca/donate. And when you donate at $101.90, you get wonderful things like a free T-shirt, Friends of CITR, 15 seconds of on-air time, and what else, Ethan?
Well, if you donate $101.90, we will also provide you with a year subscription to Skeptical Inquirer and Free Inquiry, courtesy of CFI Vancouver. Fantastic magazines. I have a subscription myself. They are perhaps one of the best resources for the skeptic. I think that any listener who gets them will be very happy to have them.
And you know what? Our show is almost out. So here's an extra bonus for anyone who phones in the next 10 minutes and says, I'm supporting Radio Free Thinker on CITR. I'll also throw in a personalized copy of our audiobook list. It's about 30 different audiobooks that we have for you that will help educate you and inform you. So if you phone in the next 10 minutes, say, I want to support CITR and Radio Free Thinker at $101.90, we will throw in not only the subscription, but this wonderful DVD of audiobooks.
Actually, I think the station would be happy to just take donations of furniture right now. During the song we check into the lounge and see how the donations are doing. And I'm not even joking about this. The table and none of the couches have legs. There are no legs on any of the furniture. So please donate some money to CITR.
Well, that's really important. I mean, we've been having a good time about this, joking around. There are some serious aspects to this. I mean, skepticism needs public support. You know, let's face it, the anti-vax movement has celebrities leading them.
They have Jenny McCarthy
and Jim Carrey.
And we have, well, me. I'm a celebrity.
Does James Randi is the biggest celebrity we have, maybe? Penn and Teller?
Penn and Teller, I guess.
And actually, I think we mentioned in the last show, Michael Shermer did an open letter to Bill Maher about his stance on vaccination.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to know a bit more about Bill Maher's version of vaccination, go to YouTube, type in Bill Maher and Western medicine. There's a blurb on there about his whacked view on vaccinations.
But the point is that skepticism, we need to sort of address these issues that people are coming up, that are becoming more and more popular as the media picks them up because they're controversial, as celebrities throw in with these causes like anti-vaccination. And we feel that there is a great need in society for the skeptical voice, the critical thinker, to raise his hand and say, actually, this is harmful, and here's why.
Exactly. I mean, the sad truth is, you know, unfortunately, the agents of pseudoscience are extremely well-funded and well-organized. I mean, the Discovery Institute, which is behind a lot of the anti-evolution court cases and funds a lot of these sort of wacky textbook initiatives, they're a multi-million dollar industry. They have the support of finances that we cannot hope to match. Any donation you make to CITR that helps us make our voice louder, to increase our range, can have a phenomenal effect on people out there. The danger of pseudoscience is so very real. And if you go to websites like Quackwatch or What's the Harm, you know, you can see some absolute horror stories of people being misled and defrauded of money and time and resources by charlatans, by scam artists. And it's important to have a skeptical voice on the radio that can tell people, hold on a second, you got to think critically about these sort of things. You stand to lose so much. It's not a game. It's not just let people believe what they want to believe. There is a danger here.
So please support the independent voice. Please support the skeptical voice by donating to CITR at 604 UBC unit or online at citr.ca/donate.
You know, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, because it's not dead. We're alive and we're kicking. But this show is not free. This show costs money. I mean, to produce it, the equipment, the time, the electricity, not to mention our salaries, which, by the way, we have cut drastically. In fact, I don't think we get paid anything now. All to show
we've never been paid anything. We love you guys and we do this for free.
But I was just looking at the actual cost. This 1 hour program is actually costing $28. Now you go, $28, well, that's not a lot. And you're right. And if you phone in and you pledge $28, we'll thank you. We'll send you something special. Nice for that. But in a year, that amounts up to almost over $2,000 for the year for just 1 hour of our show. And I mean, someone's got to pay for that. You guys love us. We know you love us, especially those people who are going to listen to this on iTunes. We need your support to keep programming like this on the air. We need to have the diversity of voices. We told you before about media concentration and about how informative we are to provide an alternative to that. So we need your money. Phone in, pledge, 604-822-8648 or citr.ca/donate.
And for our listeners who are listening via podcast, even if this is 5 days down the road from Tuesday when we're actually airing it, please donate anyway. You know, you don't have to donate
during the show.
Between the hours of 3:30 and 4:30. You can donate anytime you want. I mean, you can donate year-round, actually. You don't have to wait for the fundraiser anytime. But, you know, if you're listening via podcast, please consider donating. Please either call the station, you can go online and donate, you can come by the station and donate if you're a UBC student. Consider it.
And all that wonderful swag we mentioned will be available for you?
Absolutely. It's going to be here. It's going to be waiting. That book needs a home, people. These subscriptions, they got to have someone to read them, because they're sitting there. I mean, I want them, and I can't get them. So someone please take them before I pull my hair out.
They're burning a hole in the pockets of CITR.
Exactly. Yeah, come on, folks. We desperately need your help, you know. Skepticism, Radio Free Thinker, CITR, it's worthy. It's worth your time. You know, we know people listen to this show. If you think that this show is worth 8 cents a day, donate $30. It helps out.
Exactly. Or if you think it's 28 cents a day, that's $101.90. And you know, they also have an interesting thing. If you don't have a lot of money at hand and you want to take a little bit out of your account, they'll do monthly payments, which works out, you know, you pledge $10 a month and every month they'll just take out a little $10. What is that? That's like two cups of latte. You know, I mean, it's not a lot of money, but it means so much. It can do so much. The money, the support you give to this radio station allows us to spread the message, to be the word, to be your defenders and your knowledge sources out there. Phone in, give us your pledge, 604-822-8648.
And actually, if you do have something to say, please email us at radio.freethinker@gmail.com.
Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
I mean, why should I bother to play records for you if you're not even willing to call up and pledge a couple of dollars? A couple of dollars. It's not that much money.
All right, I'm sorry. Nobody's calling now because I blew up. Now, I'm sorry. I'll play a record or something, but please, somebody call.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver and our annual fund drive. Asking for your support if you enjoy CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver and everything the station has to offer. Independent music, independent news, independent voices representing the unrepresented.
We play a lot of old stuff. We play a lot of Cher stuff before she sold out. We play a lot of crap, but that's what you want, you know?
Listen to somebody pleading for money. I make a fool of myself begging for money when I got more going for me than a lot of you. And you won't give me $2, you know? I got that much money. I'll match all the money pledged in the next hour. I'm getting some money when I'm 25. So if you really want to hurt me and torture me, call up right now and pledge $150, and I'll write out the check. And it won't hurt that bad because I got it. But it would hurt me enough so you get your money's worth.
Support CITR and ensure that it continues to be your voice and your frequency. 604-822-8648. To pledge your support, phone 604-822-8648. CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Call up! Give a couple of bucks. Do you want to hear radio again? You know, what if you woke up some morning and there was no radio? It sounds like the beginning of a short story, you know, but 1984 isn't that far away.
Thank you, Bill Murray, who's our unofficial co-host today. He's been on here quite a bit longer than a lot of other ones. But as he's saying, you know, we need your donations. That's what you'll hear if you don't phone in and donate, because it's your radio station and we need
Isn't
your
that
help.
A terrifying sound?
Well, you might get like a sound or something.
Exactly. So 604-822-8648 or CATR.ca/donate. Now, we were talking about how this is local station, local news, and I've got a skeptic highlight to point out to you. A Dennis Rencourt, who is a professor, or actually I guess he's an ex-professor now, who was recently fired for his controversial grading technique. Apparently, he gave everyone an A+ at the beginning of his course. Now, this is a fourth level physics course where they're dealing highly theoretical stuff. And that was the reason why they fired him. Now, of course, he thinks, and a lot of other people think, he's very outspoken in his criticism of academia and the governing of the university. It's not UBC, by the way. I forget which university actually was.
I think it was somewhere in the States.
I think it was Toronto, University of Toronto or University of Windsor. It's a Canadian university. But the point being, he's coming here and he's going to be talking about academic freedom and other issues like that. So he's going to be at UBC tomorrow at the sub at 1 p.m. I forget the room. But he's here and yeah.
So, I'm sure if our listeners look it up, they'll find exactly where he is and everything. Well, I have a few announcements I want to make. The first one is all about skepticism and the X-Files. That's right. CFI Vancouver is presenting a new talk about the skepticism in the X-Files. It's Friday, November 27th at 7:30 at the Alma Van Dusen and Peter K. rooms in the Vancouver Public Library. And guess who's going to be there? Actor William B. Davis, who's more famous.
That's the cigarette-smoking man.
Exactly.
Oh, if you were an X-File from way back, then this would be really, really cool.
So I think it's going to be an awesome event. So definitely check it out. He's going to be talking. He's going to be debating the criticism that Richard Dawkins made about the X-Files being, you know, a really bad show for skepticism. So I think it's going to be great. So check it out. And another great highlight that I have, and this I'm very biased, of course, but if you've read the National Post recently or been online to the National Post website.
And if you listen to our show, you probably haven't, as the National Post is kind of a conservative rag.
Well, let's not bash them too much now. have recently published another great post from Skeptic North, which is Canada's first and only pan-Canadian skeptical blog. And the poster this time was me. So check it out, because I'm really cool.
You're in print now. Well done.
So, Rob, what do you have to tell us about what's going on?
Well, this Friday, Philip Zimbardo is coming to UBC to give a talk at the Freddie Wood Theater. It's at 1 p.m. this Friday, November 20th. And Philip Zimbardo, for those who don't know, has caught quite a storied career in how people become evil and how they listen to authority and do all sorts of things, like the basis of how people do horrible, evil, nasty things. The Zimbardo prison experiment, you may have heard of it. He was involved in that, and he's been involved in a lot of other very interesting research in morality and other such related issues. So go see the talk. It's going to be very, very cool.
Excellent. And we just got a donation in, $101.09. Thank you, Marlene.
Thank you very much. Please email us at radio.freethinker@gmail.com, and we will make sure that you get whatever prize pack you're wishing.
We're packing your swag as we speak.
Well, we're right out of time, so this is Ethan, your freethinking historian, saying good night and thanks for donating.
This is Don saying eyes open, minds on, and a double thank you to Marlene.
And this is Rob, cognitive psychologist, saying have a good afternoon.
Okay, I'm not playing any more music for anybody, and that includes myself, until somebody calls and pledges some money so that our station does not have to go off the air.
Why should people support CITR? Lots of unique music, independent news, and arts programming that isn't heard anywhere else but here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Call 604-822-8648 to pledge your support.
I mean, why should I bother to play records for you if you're not even willing to call up and pledge a couple of dollars? A couple of dollars. It's not that much money. We've been playing what you want, but we have to have your money. We can't make it without you. We played Margot Hemingway's new album. We debuted it, premiered it on this station. We're the only station in the whole tri-state area to play the Fish Cheer all the way through. We play a lot of old stuff. We play a lot of Cher stuff before she sold out. We play a lot of crap, but that's what you want, you know?
Call 604-822-8648 to pledge your support.